From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The U.S. Senate is just 2 hours away from a make-or-break vote on moving sweeping health care legislation to the Senate floor for debate. Democratic leaders are convinced they have the support they need to block any Republican filibuster of the procedural move. NPR's Audie Cornish reports.
This is but one step in the Senate debate over health care. Democrats will need 60 votes to prevent any Republican attempts to block the measure from going forward. Conservative Democrats who threatened to side with the GOP announced on the floor today they would support the vote to start debate, although Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell attempted to sway them otherwise.
Any Democratic senator who is truly interested in making a change, whether the change was on abortion language, whether the change was on whether the government ought to go into the insurance business, the time of maximum leverage would have been prior to tonight's vote.
If approved for debate, lawmakers will take up the almost $850 billion Senate bill the week after Thanksgiving. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
Rescuers in China are working through the night in frigid weather to try to reach 66 miners trapped a third of a mile underground after a gas explosion tore through a coal mine in the northern part of the country today. The blast killed at least 42 people. About 400 others managed to get out safely. One of them said the blast was so powerful that it knocked him out temporarily. Russia's President Dmitry Medvedev has criticized officials in the country's ruling party for using its overwhelming dominance to undermine democracy in recent regional elections. Medvedev was speaking at United Russia's annual meeting. The party's leader, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, was in the audience. NPR's Ann Garrels has the story.
Today's Congress will unleash more speculation about a breach between Russia's two leaders. Is President Medvedev once again trying to stake out his own territory, or is he merely trying to deflect concerns regarding last month's regional elections by voicing some healthy criticism? Are the two men in competition, or have they decided between them that each should appeal to different parts of the population? Since assuming the presidency last year as Putin's handpicked successor, Medvedev has attacked much of what could be called Putin's legacy, a stifling central government, corruption, and the country's overdependence on oil and gas exports. Prime Minister Putin today applauded Medvedev's speech. Ann Garrels, NPR News, Moscow.
A military judge in San Antonio has acquitted a former Air Force nurse of murder charges in connection with the deaths of three patients who were terminally ill. Prosecutors said Captain Michael Fontana gave the three excessive doses of painkillers, but Fontana's attorneys said the dosages were in line with accepted guidelines. Fontana says he hopes now to be able to resume his nursing career. This is NPR News from Washington. Hamas has announced an agreement with other militant factions to stop the firing of rockets into southern Israel. The deal is intended to head off Israeli retaliatory attacks and give residents of the Gaza Strip time to rebuild structures damaged or leveled during last winter's Israeli military offensive there. Parts of the Sierra Nevada mountains that span the border between California and Nevada have gotten 2 feet of fresh snow. Bob Hensley of Capitol Public Radio has more.
The storm left more than snow in the region. Thousands of residents lost power as wind gusts reached 80 miles per hour. Trees, fences, and other structures were toppled. The wind-driven snow blinded motorists. A number of highways and roads had to be closed. A chain reaction accident on Interstate 80 resulted in the death of a motorist. Officials had to close the airport in Reno, causing the cancellation of flights. The weather system couldn't have been timelier for the ski resorts in the Tahoe area, many of which just opened. The brunt of the storm has passed, the roads are clear, and skiers and boarders are expected to turn out in large numbers this weekend. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
Two spacewalking astronauts from the shuttle Atlantis have completed their spacewalk outside the International Space Station. NASA commentator Kelly Humphreys.
Repressurizing now, concluding today's second of three planned spacewalks at 2:39 p.m. Central Time as the station complex orbited over Africa.
The wife of one of the spacewalkers, Randy Bresnik, was expected to give birth to their second child last night. The baby has not yet been born, but if it had been during the spacewalk, NASA had decided not to tell Bresnik until he was back inside the orbiter so as not to distract him from his work. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.